Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. Available at Centra and SuperValu stores nationwide. Great tasting coffee, no messing.
It is sex therapy time, lads. A little ears warning, and that includes you, Lottie. Your little ears. This week's topic, it's an interesting one. It really is, because a lot of people will tell you they don't. But statistics will say it is quite common. As always, like I said, little ears warning. And joining me on the line is our resident sex therapist, Rachel Cook. Hiya, Rachel.
Good morning, Jen.
This is an interesting one, isn't it?
It is an interesting one, and I think orgasms and careers are very tied in, so I hope Lottie keeps listening.
Oh, she's right beside me. She's right beside me.
I'm really interested to know how they tie in together.
Rachel, so we're talking faking orgasms in particular. Firstly, yes. Do many women fake it?
So it seems that between 15 and 25% of women, so around a quarter, fake orgasms regularly. And you know,
or admit from they fake it regularly.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it's very hard with any of this research, because obviously some people are going to be more inclined for various reasons to be honest. And sometimes, you know, people are often maybe not fully aware of like to what level they're doing it even. That could be the case. But it seems that about 75% of women have faked an orgasm or pretended orgasm at least once. But interestingly, about 30% of men have as well. People of all genders and sexualities do it, it does appear to be disproportionately common among women, especially women who sleep with men.
Okay, so why do we do it? I mean, if you're doing it, faking it, like, is it not the case that you're just living a lie and repressing yourself sexually?
Well, this is a really interesting one, because especially, again, for women in heterosexual relationships, the top reasons for why we seem to do it all seem to be related to pleasing a partner, wanting them to feel better, not wanting to hurt their feelings or wanting to boost their ego. Then it can also be that we just want to get it over with, you know, that we're tired or the sex is unsatisfying, or we are generally maybe not able to orgasm, or we just know that we're not going to orgasm then or that time. You know, it can also be around feelings of shame, fear, yeah, sexual inadequacy. So there's all sorts of reasons. And I think it's harmful for us to just say, oh, you're an idiot if, you know, you fake an orgasm. First of all, because it seems like a lot of people are doing it. But I think that this more points to how we don't yet live in a culture where it's fully acceptable to say, I'm not into this anymore, or, you know, can we do something else? Or even just to say, I'm having lots of fun, but I'm not going to orgasm. So, you know, you know, let's either do something else or stop here, or you finish if that's what you, whatever, you know. So we're not really taught well to have good, authentic chat during sex. And sometimes it's taught also that it's just undesirable to even speak up and be honest. So when women sense, or when anybody senses, that saying something isn't really an option because we're going to get the cold shoulder, someone's going to get the hump over it, then, you know, we use the options available to us. You know, I think then there's also the fact that, like, media representations of women's sexual pleasure really don't help us. Still, far too often, sex scenes on mainstream TV show penetrative sex with very little build-up beforehand. You know that I don't like to use the word foreplay, because, in my opinion, you know, it's all sex. But, you know, so if TV will show us sort of rushed penetration and very quick mutual orgasm in positions where clitoral stimulation is very unlikely, you know. And then also porn has instilled a certain kind of expectation, or a lot of porn has instilled this idea that penetrative sex can usually make most women come. But even men who don't buy into that often think that there's a kind of a surefire recipe for female orgasm, like women being on top or oral sex beforehand. And sure, sometimes this works, but often it doesn't. So, you know, a lot of us we're not really sure about how our bodies work. You know, we don't know how to say or ask for non-penetrative sex. And, you know, that it's still sort of seen that it's only sex if there's penetration involved.
So when should women, if they're not up for it, or and they still want it, or they don't think they're going to climax or any of that, when should they say it? In the course of sexual intercourse, at the beginning, in the middle, like if they don't feel it's happening, like when's a good time not to, you know, upset the other person?
Yeah, so I think, first of all, it's not possible to guarantee that you won't upset the other person, because you are not responsible for their feelings. Now, of course, you can influence that by saying it in a really harsh or shaming way to them.
Yeah.
But that, you know, basically when you start to feel it is a time to say it. It might be that beforehand, you know your body because you've done lots of exploring, hopefully through your own, you know, sex on your own, masturbation, trying things out, you know, that you have a good idea of your own body, that there are going to be some times, it could be because you're tired, it could be a certain point in your cycle, if you have periods, it could be all sorts of reasons. It could be that you're particularly stressed. For some people, that makes them more likely to orgasm quickly. For some people, that makes them less likely. You know, but that you can kind of, sometimes you will know from the outset. So you'll be able to say, hey, very unlikely to orgasm, still delighted if you wanna try, and let's see what happens. Sometimes you might just go, no, not up for that. Sometimes you might know that you just really don't feel like penetrative sex.
And I suppose that takes the pressure off, doesn't it? If you have that conversation beforehand, look, I'm not up for it, but let's have some fun, whatever. If you have that conversation beforehand, it takes a huge amount of pressure off.
Totally.
Yeah.
You know, if you can be a bit more communicative about it without setting yourself up for failure. So if you're just going to continually say, look, I'm not going to orgasm, so don't worry about me, that can be just another way of sort of centering your partner's pleasure instead of, you know, seeing this as being, you know, two people or however many people are involved in the sexual experience to have, you know, equally deserving, you know, sort of opportunity for pleasure, which also doesn't have to mean orgasm. So I think on one hand, we still have this focus on male pleasure being very sort of penetrative because it tends to be easier for men to orgasm from penetrative sex than for women. But that on the other hand, there's also an expectation and assumption that we should orgasm, that we have to orgasm, that if we don't orgasm, there's something wrong, and that orgasm is the sort of the main part of sex, which I think that is also, it's just, you know, it's a lot of pressure.
So what's your advice to people who don't think they can get to that place?
So
you touched on it recently.
Would
you, is masturbation, is that the key to
that? Can be one. You know, we've sort of had to start changing our attitudes here. So, you know, experimenting with asking to do things differently and noticing the effects of partners. But absolutely, first of all, you know, find out what works for you. You know, play around on your own, have a clearer picture of what gets you off and what changes you'd like your sexual partner to make in bed so that you're ready to have that conversation. You know, that you can say to a partner as well, some people will be more receptive to a gentle approach, saying things like, you know, outside of sex, you could say you have something you'd like to talk about or figure out with them, so that they feel like they're part of the, not necessarily the solution, but the conversation, and are more open to hearing what you have to say, sharing your experience, owning your own feelings and not blaming anyone, but also that you're not being self-deprecating about this. You know, you're not a failure if it seems like there's certain things that are going to lead you to orgasm and certain things that aren't. So we can also get to the point, I think, about combating some common sexual misconceptions with our partners. So reminding your partner that it's very common for people to have a different experience when someone is with a partner to when they're on their own as well, and that you'd like to discover how to enjoy orgasming when you are together.
Yeah.
Offer some suggestions, things you'd like to try. For some people, it's toys. For some people, it's lube. And then just having both of you just lower the pressure around whether or not the orgasm is going to happen. So let's say a partner says something like, oh, well, I've never had any complaints before. You know, they seem to already be on the defensive or getting the hump or seem to be sort of saying that it's your problem. You know, you can say something like, okay, that's great for you. I know that different women or different people, depending on what gender you are, need different things to get there, but it will be fun to explore. Or you can say, well, you know, just remember, you know, everyone is different, right? Or it's great that you're so invested in it, but I want to make sure we're on the same page here. If I'm feeling pressured or expected to orgasm, that's probably going to make it a lot harder for me to get there.
Yeah.
You know, so any sort of rude, dismissive or cruel response is a pretty clear sign that this person doesn't deserve to get into your pants. You know, so let them know that you don't appreciate that attitude and send them on their merry way. You know, what you can do here is just be open, curious and talk to each other, and also being aware and sensitive that, you know, a huge amount of people have experienced sexual trauma. So being sensitive and patient around that, I think, is really, really important, especially as we're seeing how much higher the numbers are than we ever before thought for people of all genders.
Okay, Thanks so much for that. Now, just for anybody listening who said, oh, I'm that person, I fake it all the time, and they're listening to the show and they're listening to you right now.
Yeah.
What, just in a nutshell, what would you say to them, like your three top tips to moving forward for them? What would you say to them?
To the people who...
Who are faking it. Yeah, what would you say?
First of all, have a think about why you're doing it without, you know, without being self-recriminatory. You don't have to be horrible to yourself. Like, oh God, I'm an awful person for lying about this. You know, but think about what are the reasons why I might be doing this. It could be, is it to please my partner? Is it because I don't feel comfortable speaking up? Is it because I don't want the conversation because I expect that my partner will be pissed off? You know, and just thinking that, like, most, in my experience, when most people find out that their partner is faking, they're really upset by that. Nobody wants, you know, I'm sure you wouldn't be delighted to find out that Lau was faking
with you. No.
You know, or maybe you would, Jen. I don't know. Would you?
Oh, sometimes I'm just delighted to get it over with. But I know what you mean. Yeah.
Well, and this is, it's funny, but it's also, I think there's a sadness under there that is an underlying sense that a lot of people have about sex. Now, presumably it's not all the sex you're having, because
Jesus,
I would seriously want to have a conversation if you feel like that about all sex. But, you know, that if we're feeling that way some of the time, some people will say, okay, well, it's only some of the time. Fine, but you're also avoiding, you're stopping your partner from being able to understand better and connect with you and understand better what actually does get you off. And most people really enjoy their partner having orgasms. So, you know, if you're sort of living under that deceit, I think absolutely question why you're doing that.
Okay.
And figure out how you might be able to talk to your partner about that, and maybe the interim is to figure out before you talk to them, or maybe you do it with them, what is it that you think is going to have you have a better time. And if it's not that you're not having a good time, then maybe you can just find out the way to say, you know, this isn't going to make it happen for me, but that's okay, or let's experiment and see what happens, let's explore and have fun, and if I don't reach orgasm, that's okay too.
Yeah, but I think the biggest message is just stop faking it, because it's doing nobody any good, isn't it?
It does nobody any good, but it is very likely that the other person may be disappointed, upset or angry, because they will feel that you have been deceiving them. They've been thinking that they've been, you know, showing you a good time. You know, we also know from some research that this can be an ego booster, especially for men in heterosexual relationships. So, you know, we have to kind of look at the issue around that, around potentially, you know, toxic masculinity, man box culture, all sorts of stuff there that ties in with the possibility of a man feeling as though he's a real man or a good man, you know, or whatever that is, if he can make a woman come. So, you know, again, being sensitive about that, you know, that's also bad for men to feel that way.
They go around thinking they're bleeding great and they're having a clue.
They do. Totally. And I know, I don't know if you were going to ask about other sexualities, but I just want to put it out
there. Yeah, go on.
Heterosexual women orgasm the least of all sexual orientation, sexuality.
Would you stop?
So lesbians tend to have about 50% more orgasms together.
That's because women never shut up talking. They're talking to each other all the time about this.
Yeah, they're just coming all over the place, all over the shop. So, but even though you have, having a vagina doesn't make you an expert on all other vaginas, obviously, the fact that queer women are often having oral sex.
You just put me off my latte, Rachel. Thanks.
Toys. What?
I'm joking. Not go on. Go on.
And then, so men who identify as either bisexual or gay are also significantly more likely to fake orgasms than straight men, which is interesting.
Okay, yeah, that is
so
interesting.
So, you know, I think we also don't have enough research around that, but my anecdotal experience with gay and bisexual men is that it's common. You know, it is pretty common. Maybe like between a third and half of gay and bisexual men have faked with men. So isn't that an interesting thing?
It is. And we're back to the old, if you want to have a healthy sexual relationship, communicate.
Communicate to come better and more, and also less if you're fine with that.
Yeah. Well, listen, thanks so much. That was really interesting. Rachel Cook, she's a legend. She's a psychotherapist and a mental health consultant. She's on every week. She talks about whatever you want to talk about. We get a lot of emails into the show. If you want her to discuss anything next week, jen@rte.ie. Back after these.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.